All right. If you have your Bibles, let's use them together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 33. We're going to read a very large portion together. I'm going to read it with you, but it is behind me. I think it was there earlier. There we go. So this is the ESV, I believe it was. But you can look there, use your Bible, whichever you want to use. Let's go through it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10, 1 to 33. For I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread. We, who are many, are one body. For we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifice participants in the altar? Verse 19, what do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to participate with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any questions on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. I love that portion of scripture. I hope that all of you do too. But when I read through that, I am uplifted and encouraged when I think about the Lord's Supper. I feel cared for by Him that I can join with you in this opportunity with communion. And the reminder that is there for us. I've been thinking about this verse too, and I've said before, and I've talked to others too, this verse will come through my head often, and it's the verse 33. I don't know if it's still up there or not, but verse 33, which it talks about, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, the last one I read, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Paul was an amazing man. He was only amazing because Christ revealed himself to him, because God opened his eyes to see what he was doing and the way he was living. This verse, though, 33, it really has been on my heart. And it will pass through my mind from time to time. And again, not so long ago here, a few weeks back, I fell on it again, and it was right there in front of me. And I knew that this was opportunity for us to read through this and to do this together in communion, because unity matters. We think that unity is just kind of a word that we can throw out there easily at times, but it really does matter. And when we join together in communion, we are unifying together and agreeing together the work of Christ is true. But if we're not unified in our life with Christ, then we come to the table and it's almost like we're worshiping demons ourselves, because we're not living a holy and just life before God outside of this building. So when we come together with communion, we're unifying in the same body, the same spirit. There's a few other verses here with this. Is one of the other verses I want to read again that I said earlier, and it said, it was 10:24. In 1 Corinthians 10:24, it said, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Then, if you look back, though, there's a lot that flows through here. Chapter 8 to chapter 9, there's a lot of different scriptures that you can really look at to see what Paul was saying in verse 33. And I want to give a little bit of that to you today. I want you to see a little piece of it. Verse 33, 10:23 of 1 Corinthians, and as well 10:24, and as well 9:23, and let's read that now. It says, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. These three verses, just that I've given you now, alone, point to a selfless life. It didn't matter to Paul what he was doing, whether he was building tents or in his synagogue or in the synagogue itself or out on the street outside the synagogue. He wanted people to know the gospel that had been revealed to him. Jew, Gentiles, Greeks, all his focus was gospel-centered. At every moment, gospel-centered focus was his life. That too should be the same for us. Because of that, he could live a selfless life. Paul became all things to all people in order that he would share with them the fruit of blessing. If you look at 10:16, it says, the cup of blessing that we bless. Just let that sit in your mind for a while as we go to some other scriptures as well. Let me read his... Actually, I'm going to read the whole thing to you. I'm going to read the whole thing in verse 16 to you. The cup, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? It is the cup of blessing. This is the cup of blessing that we hand out. The cup of blessing that we hand out is a selfless life, not focused on the bread itself, not focused on the cup itself. It is a selfless life that we are to live. I want to tell you something that's truthful for me and that I think about often. I am devoted to my family, my wife, and my children, ensuring they receive and embrace the gospel for themselves. Equally, I extend this commitment to you, brothers and sisters, hoping that you find trust in all matters, rather than pursuing a selfish, desireful life. I seek to glorify our Heavenly Father in spirit and in life. As Paul urged in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I walk each step anew, not aimlessly but purposely, not beating the air but running the race to receive the prize. Every step has purpose in my life. Does every step have purpose in your own lives? Are you running for the prize that awaits you? As a runner runs, there's a prize that comes. Are you running for the prize? Can you say like the writer, now, Lord, I would be yours alone to live so all might see. The strength to follow your commands could never come from me. O Father, use my ransom life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be. My only hope is you. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. A ransom life, a selfless life. That's what we as Christians should live. If we are to go back when we look in chapter 9, I just started to picture a slingshot. Remember when David, simple little, huge story, David, he takes the sling, right? How he whips it around. You can watch videos of how that sling actually worked. I did bring another sling with me here, which is just one of our kids' slings, but slingshots. But I'm not going to put a ball in and shoot it. You're okay. You're safe. I thought it would be good if I went back and I could hit the clock, but I don't think that would be that safe because I probably miss the clock and take out Tim or something. But a slingshot, though, this one is pretty generic, right? You put your hand in, you put your arm in, and you shoot it. But whatever is in it goes forward. And that's a lot of what Paul was doing here. And with David, when he hit Goliath in the head, there was a strike that happened from the rock that was there that he propelled at him. And Paul himself is almost like he's taking chapter 9 of Corinthians, and there's not enough time to go through it. But it's almost like he's taking it and he's slinging us forward to say, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. He has purpose in the direction that he brings us in Scripture, and he wants to propel us forward, and he gives us examples. When we went through in chapter 10 and all the temptations and the testings that they went through, the ones of old, our fathers of old, and the temptations that they had, they were there for an example for us to see what not to do and what to do as well. But they were to have faith, and we need to have faith. So Paul slings us forward through chapter 10 to live a selfless life, to commune together, in unity together. So now if we took that blessing, the life poured out, and went to 1 Corinthians 13, we all know this one, I'm sure, really well, the love chapter, we often call it. But love is a verb. We must act out love. We can say that we love someone with our voice all we want, but if we don't show it, we're a liar. So it's an action. 2 Corinthians 5:18 is another one. And 19, let's just turn there together. It's not too far ahead for us. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Let's read it together. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 19. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. Listen to this, though. God makes his appeal through us. We implore you on our behalf, on the behalf of Christ. We be reconciled to God. There's a few things I just want to take from there. Is that one that I just focus on now is through us. We bring a blessing. We do this communing together, but it is a blessed thing that we do together because it is a reminder for us. It reminds us. We are children of God, and we have been reconciled by Him. It was His plan and purpose to reconcile us to Him when we've come to believe in Christ. And we receive the cup and the blood, the covenant. Us, who all were once in the world, all of us, there's not any of us that were not, were once living in the world and for our own selfish desires until we come to Christ. And we take that message to the nations. Another point with this whole thing is unity. As I've said many times with unity, but I want to point it out more. When we join for communion, we are fully reminded of unity. That previous bond of peace that comes through the completed work of Christ. Fully completed. One bread, one body, one blood, one sacrifice, one atonement, one mind. We are reminded of this. And communion. We no longer take part in the offerings offered up to demons. Because the altar that we have was fashioned by the hand of God. And we give the blessing to one another as we hand the plate. And that's why I love that we do it this way. I know we might take it to a tradition, if you want to call it that. But I love that we pass the plate to the next person, because it's like we're giving them the same blessing that we understand, and we say this is the blessing that we're reminding each other of, and we're saying Christ has done the work for us. Do you remember? Do you remember what He's done for us? Do you remember what He did for you? We're reminding ourselves of the work of Christ and what He has completed to please God ultimately, but then it's for us. It's a reminder to remember. And we give it to our brother and sister next to us as we pass it off. We start off here. We pray for it. We pray over it. Charlie, Stan, myself, we'll pray over it, or others if we choose for them to pray over it. And we pray, and then we hand it out together, and we do it all together. That's why I love that it's the way it works for us. But if we did it a little bit different, it wouldn't hinder us, because it's not about the cup that saves us. It's not about the bread itself that saves us. It's Christ Himself and His completed work. It's a reminder of what He did for us. So we remember. And then we know that we have been reconciled by Him, and that reconciliation is what we go to show the world and the nation, that they have been reconciled, if they believe, in Christ through Him. So it's one blessing, one atonement that you have because of Christ, not because of you. And you have this so that you can live selflessly. This is how Paul lived selflessly, because of the work of Christ. So again, I want to say it. One cup, one body. We who are many are one body, one in Christ. So we should strive for unity. But our flesh will not strive for unity, or will get unity. Our flesh only wants what it wants and tries to get what it wants. But when we partake in unity, the flesh is destroyed. The flesh is not there, because we're partaking in the work of Christ and not in the work of ourselves, or in it being some tradition in such a way that this is something that works for you to get you to God by drinking that cup or eating that bread. It doesn't get you to God. It's a reminder. Remember the rock that followed them. It was there. I mean, when you think about that for a second, a rock that follows me, it's kind of strange. How does that happen? Christ, the rock that followed them. We know what Moses did with the rock when he struck it in anger. Remember the bread from heaven, the manna that was there for them? God was the provider for them, but He tested them. They tested Christ as well, as we read in chapter 10 earlier. They tested Him. But with this, coming to a close here, the cup does not save you. The bread does not save you. Communion is a reminder of who we serve and who our master is. So do you serve the flesh or do you serve him? Or do you serve the flesh in such a way that you're trying to live out in the world all week and then you come here and you think, oh yeah, let's partake in communion. I can be unified with the brothers and sisters in Christ in action right now in this moment, but I can live all week another way. It's not the way it works. We need to make sure that we are partaking in unity with brothers and sisters and not living the ways of the world and not partaking with demons. So we're going to do communion together. And I always say too, if you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe that he has saved you, and the only reason you really believe is because he's opened your eyes to see that you can believe, it's all done by him and through him, partake together and live a selfless life. Well, we'll do communion together, and then we'll do our song at the end. So, all those helping with communion, would you join me up here at the table? Squish in. Oh. All right, yes. Please sit. Unless you really want to stand with me, you can. I know I often read through Luke, or I'll read through Corinthians or Matthew, we'll use, but I do want to read this before we do everything else together. And it's in Luke 22, 14 to 20, I'm going to read. And it says, "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him." And I want you to imagine it in your mind when they did this together. It would have been an amazing, amazing opportunity to be a fly there or a mosquito. "And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. To do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise, the cup also. And the cup after he had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" What amazing words to hear. And they still didn't totally get it. They didn't fully understand. We see in John where, "Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? I need to see your hands." We know one that wanted to see him, one of the disciples, right? "Let me see your hands. I want to see the proof." Christ was there with them, communing with him. We have the full completion of Christ dying and rising now to be with him, with our Father, with the heaven, with God in heaven at the right hand. But they had him right there with him before his death, his full completed death. And I just want to read this verse again, verse 20. "And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood, in the blood of Christ.'" What a covering we have. What a blessed covering we have. I want to pray with you, and then we're going to pray some more too over the bread and over the juice, the wine. Let's pray. And if there's anything that you want to say to the Lord in this moment too, we'll just take a minute to be quiet together, and then I'm going to pray. We'll take roughly a minute, and we'll just be quiet and just talk to the Lord if you need to, and just give it to him. If there's sin in your life you're dealing with, just give it to him. So we'll just take a moment of quiet, and then I'll pray. Father, I just thank you that we can come together as brothers and sisters and join together in such a way as this here today. Father, I thank you that we have been given grace that we do not deserve. Just as the man on the cross realized his sin and he said that he knew that he deserved what was here for him, but Christ, who was there with him, did not deserve. And you remembered that man. And he asked that he would be remembered. And you remembered him. And Father, I thank you that when we realize our sin, that you remember us and that you forgive us completely and totally. And there is nothing that then separates us from you. Because our sins are forgotten. No future sin, no past sin is brought up to separate us from you. Because when we are your children, we are your children. So I thank you, Father, that we can have that confidence. I thank you, Father, that we can commune together here today. I thank you for the men that have been willing to come up here today to hand out to one another, and all of us that will join together to hand to one another the blessing that we have been given to remind ourselves of the work of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, would you stand with me? You don't all have to stand. Would you mind, before we do the rest, would you pray over the bread?
Sure.
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the body. God with us. You became man. And that body was scarred, was put on a cross, was mocked, was killed, was put in the grave, and rose again. What you went through for us at the cross, this body that was broken, Lord, we should love you with all of our heart because of what you have done. So just help us, I pray, in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Just while you're holding the bread, would you mind, Charlie, praying over the cup?
Father, we come before you this morning, Zara, to thank and praise you that you gave your life. You shed your blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And you shed your blood for us, that our sins are covered and completely forgiven. And we're made right before our Father in heaven now because of what you did. Lord, as we remember what you've done, as we drink this cup, just remember your shedding in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll just hand all this out to all of you, and then after that we'll read through together, and then we'll partake each together, the bread and then the cup. So just hold on to all of it until everyone has. and then we'll join in together to do that. I still need to give you the cup too. Don't sit yet.
What are you gonna do?
I'm okay.
I'll pretend.
All right, please sit.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Do you? Oh, okay. Look at that. The Lord provides. He knew. Thanks, Rachel. You were trying to take extra. All right. We have these with us. And we've had the prayer and the blessing of the words of both Stan and Charlie. And I just want to read this with the bread. And then we'll partake with the bread, and we'll do the same thing with the cup. And it says, and he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake. And then likewise, He had the cup, and they passed it to one another. Likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Let's take this in remembrance. I want to pray one more time, and then we'll sing together, and then I'll give her a benediction, and then we'll go to wherever the Lord has us to go to next. So let's pray. Father, I just